What I'd like leaders to start thinking about is, what are you doing to ensure that all of your employees are clear about the measurable results they need to achieve for our organization? Because I will tell you this, being in the office does not ensure that.
Well, hey, top of the morning to you, or afternoon, or whatever time of day it happens to be at this particular moment in your life. This is episode 109 of Future Proof. I'm Bill. You're you. Let's get this thing rolling, shall we? As always, this week's show is brought to you by the Business Learning Institute. That's Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. So I want to start by spending a few minutes today talking about remote work. And the show isn't about remote work. We've spent plenty of time talking about that in past shows. And if you want to revisit them, check out episodes 98 and 93 as examples. But remote work, it's a good way of setting some context for today's conversation, which, by the way, if you're wondering, is with none other than Jody Thompson, a world-renowned thought leader and co-creator of the results-only work environment concept, or RO, pretty big deal. But anyway, I read this article recently on Inc. Magazine's website. The article is titled, "This Company's New Two-Sentence Remote Work Policy is the Best I've Ever Heard," which coincidentally might be the worst headline I've ever heard, but you know, whatever. It got me reading the article, so I guess it works on a certain level. Anyway, my point is, well, actually, the author of the article makes my point. He is Justin Bariso or Bariso, not quite sure how to pronounce it, B-A-R-I-S-O. Anyway, he tells the story of Siemens. This is a German company, you know Siemens, best known for electronics and appliances, but also a leader in other areas like transportation and medical equipment. Anyway, when COVID-19 hit, Siemens released a new remote work policy that includes the following passage, a direct quote here. "These changes will also be associated with a different leadership style, one that focuses on outcomes rather than on time spent at the office. We trust our employees and empower them to shape their work themselves so that they can achieve the best possible results. With the new way of working, we're motivating our employees while improving the company's performance capabilities and sharpening Siemens' profile as a flexible and attractive employer." End quote. Outcomes rather than time spent at the office. Not really a new concept, and yet it is for many folks. Here's what Jason Bariso writes, and bear with me, this is kind of a long excerpt, but it's important. Here we go. Quote, "Most companies pay their people based on how many hours they spend at work. But this is kind of dumb if you think about it. After all, those same companies are paid for a result, the end product or service they provide, not the amount of time it takes to produce them." But this statement from Siemens' CEO sets a new standard for company leaders. Instead of focusing on hours, the goal is to focus on results. After all, what's more important, the fact that your employees do good work, that they are able to finish a series of tasks or move a project forward, or the amount of work it took them to do it? By focusing on outcomes, strategies like these help employees make their time count instead of simply counting time. After all, if a team or individual is able to produce something great in less time than expected, they should be rewarded for that, not penalized. But you may ask, if I didn't keep strict watch over my employees, how do I know they'll work hard? It's all a matter of trust. Trust doesn't mean leaving employees high and dry to figure things out all by themselves. Rather, it's about empowering them. Companies must provide an environment where people have what they need to do successful work. End quote. And all of that, reminds me of Dan Pink's research into what employees, and that's all employees, what employees want from their bosses and their jobs. And it really comes down to three things: autonomy, mastery, and purpose. And autonomy is really what we're talking about here, the ability to do your job in any way you see fit, in any time frame you see fit, as long as you get the work done and done well in a timely manner. Just listen to what Dan Pink says about autonomy here.
Autonomy is our desire to be self-directed, to direct our own lives. Now, in many ways, traditional notions of management run afoul of that. Management is great if you want compliance, but if you want engagement, which is what we want in the workforce today as people are doing more complicated, sophisticated things, self-direction is better. Let me give you some examples of this, of almost radical forms of self-direction in the workplace that lead to good results. Let's start with this company right here, Atlassian, an Australian company. It's a software company, and they do something really cool. Once a quarter on a Thursday afternoon, they say to their developers, for the next 24 hours, you can work on anything you want. You can work on it the way you want. You can work on it with whomever you want. All we ask is that you show the results to the company at the end of those 24 hours in this fun kind of meeting, not a star chamber session, but this fun meeting with beer and cake and fun and other things like that. It turns out that that one day of pure, undiluted autonomy has led to a whole array of fixes for existing software, a whole array of ideas for new products that otherwise had never emerged. One day. Now, this is not an if-then incentive. This is not the sort of thing that I would have done 3 years ago before I knew this research. I would have said, you want people to be creative and innovative? Give them a freaking innovation bonus. If you can do something cool, I'll give you $2,500. They're not doing this at all. They're essentially saying, you probably want to do something interesting. Let me just get out of your way. One day of autonomy produces things that had never emerged.
So autonomy, results only work. I don't care how you do it or when you do it, just do it and do it well. And as radical as it may sound to some of us, it's not a new concept. It's been around at least since 2003. And my guest this week, Jody Thompson, co-created the Results Only Work Environment System, or ROW, as we've come to know it. Since then, it's gained huge global traction. It has influenced the cultures of countless organizations around the world. And today, right now, when so many of us have been forced into remote work-from-home environments, ROW is suddenly hot again. Leaders are saying, look, I can't micromanage you the way we used to, and I'm going to have to trust you. Get your work done. I don't care when, I don't care how, just get it done. And their teams are responding. And why? Well, autonomy, right? Comes down to that one word. It's one of the three things that all employees want. So I'm really excited to sit down this week with one of the brainchilds behind, I guess you'd say brain children, actually, behind ROW, and to hear what she thinks about what's going on now and how ROW kind of paved the way for what we're all experiencing today. Settle in. This is going to be a great show. Here is my conversation with Jody Thompson. So Jody, thanks for being here. For the uninitiated, what is ROW?
So Bill, the Results Only Work Environment is a cultural platform where each person in an organization is 100% accountable and 100% autonomous. It doesn't have anything to do with flexibility. So flexible work programs are managed by managers, and it does not give people more control over their time. So results-only work environment actually gives people the freedom to make the right decisions every day about when and where they do their work.
So take us back to the start here, Jody. I mean, this was what, 2003? What was happening in your life that made you think, hey, there's got to be a better way. Let's try something new here.
Well, it's interesting you should ask how how this started. And I'm going to tell you just a quick story. I was I live in Minnesota.
Okay.
And I was home one morning and there were 6 inches of snow on the ground. It was blizzarding out. And they were predicting 28 inches by 3 p.m.
Oh my gosh.
And the only thing I could think about was, should I call in sick? Maybe I should see if I can take some PTO. Wonder if everybody else shows up and I don't. You know, I'm going to look like a slacker. I'm really nervous. I'm going to feel guilty. And so all this stuff was swirling in my gut. I ended up going in. Took me 2.5 hours to get to work. all day long, all we were talking about was our commute. Nobody was working, 5,000 people in 12 buildings. Mm-hmm. And we were all waiting for the CEO of a Fortune 100 company to tell us when we could go home. And at that moment, I snapped. Mm-hmm. Because I thought, this is ridiculous. Nobody's thinking about the work. We're all in a, you know, institution that's more authoritarian and not opportunistic. And it's just not working, and we have to change it in a big way. It was interesting too, Bill, because at 3 o'clock, those 28 inches, basically the cars were buried in the parking lot. It took me 3 hours to go 1 mile.
That's crazy.
So that's the day it snapped. And you know what we learned from all of that, and what I thought about is that what people want is they want complete control over their time. They don't want flexibility. They don't want permission. They want to be adults and make decisions every day about how they spend their time. And work is one of those things we need to do. What's missing in organizations is people aren't crystal clear about the measurable results they need to achieve. And so when you're not clear, then putting in time and being in an office and showing up and sort of playing those office games is what you do, because you're not really clear anyway. So at least you're measured by that.
So a couple of things strike me about that. First of all, I grew up just outside of Buffalo, New York. So I'm completely there with the snow thing. How do you know Dan Pink personally? Have you worked with him? How? Because I hearing you say that brings me back to the three things that he says every person wants from work, and one of them being autonomy. So tell me a little bit about the connection there.
Yes, I do know Dan Pink. You know, autonomy, mastery, and purpose is the secret to motivation. He actually mentions results-only work environment in his book, Drive. Mm-hmm. And what results-only work environment does is it takes that idea of autonomy, right, not flexibility, mastery, so I'm really clear about what I need to do to deliver, and then purpose, and we tie people's role to the purpose of the organization so that if I'm doing any kind of work activity, I'm intrinsically motivated to do that because I don't get any kudos for putting in time or putting in effort. What I actually get it for is producing something meaningful. So that autonomy, mastery, and purpose is a great way to think about how we want to be in our lives. But what results-only work environment does is it infuses that idea into the DNA of the culture. So the cultural mindset starts to shift, and people, like he says, you know, they live richer lives all the way around.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, just like anything, I don't know, new or different or innovative, I'm sure that this kind of idea has had its skeptics in the past. So I thought it might be good for you to, you know, tell us a little bit about what Roe isn't as well. What have you heard from folks, some misconceptions along the way?
So it's a really interesting time right now, Bill, with the pandemic and a lot of organizations having their people work from home indefinitely. Results-only work environment is not a work-from-home program. And that's where people get confused. They see it out of their lens of flexibility. So if I allow more people to work from home or work from another location or call some people remote workers, I feel like I'm a results-only work environment. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have anything to do with labeling people where they're working from. So today, for example, you and I have something to do together. I don't need to know where you are.
Right.
If I need something from you, then I reach out and ask for it, and I'm very clear about what I need and when I need it. I don't need to know if you're walking your dog. I don't need to know if you're, you know, out on your boat. I don't need to know any of that. And what flexibility says is, I need to know where you are. You need to tell me when you're unavailable, quote and unquote. Mm-hmm. And that is still controlling people and not managing work. Work, you know, isn't a place you go, it's something you do. We've been saying that since 2004. Yep. Let's focus on the results of the work, and people will be where they need to be when they need to be there to deliver those results.
So this is as much about managing a team as it is about individual employees getting their work done. I mean, I think a lot of folks, and myself included, I'm guilty of this over the years, have heard of Row and thought, oh, this is a great way for me to do my work, but it's as much about the folks managing me as it is about me doing my work. Is that right?
Well, yes. You know, managers get sort of a bad rap in that, we look at managers as almost a parental figure. They tell me what to do, you know, where to sit, when to work, when to take a break. You know, there's all of those things that managers manage. And what we have to do is we have to take people from managing people, so when I work and all of that stuff, to really managing the work. So manage the work, not the people, is what the future work platform is going to look like. We like to actually take the word manager out of the vernacular because it has a lot of bad connotation. You know, people leave managers, not companies, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Micromanaging. So we like to call them results coaches because really they're very important role. They're there to help you think through, you know, challenges you're having, you know, knock down some barriers. Very important role, but not to look at their watch and make sure that I'm online 8 hours a day.
Right.
That's the difference.
I'm kind of curious. You just said a couple of minutes ago that this Row is not a work from home strategy, but I'm just kind of curious, have you seen interest in this kind of spike at all recently because of what we're all kind of going through right now?
Yes, I've actually seen, just because organizations now have been forced into this situation, where before people were asking to work from home and there was all these reasons why you couldn't. Well, you haven't been here long enough. Well, I don't really think you can do your work at home. There was always a way to keep everybody or most people in the office. So we see the statistics before the pandemic, something like 2 to 5% of people were working from home or working remotely. And now it's, you know, I don't know, 80%. I'm just throwing that out. It's just like everybody.
Yeah.
And so now they're going, oh, people can get their work done at home. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, we've known that since 1975. So good.
Yeah.
But their mindset is still, okay, that's great, everybody, but how can I, you know, get you back in? So we're all creating re-entry plans. Mm-hmm. Because I'm really not comfortable not being able to see you every day or have a handle on how many hours you're putting in or whatever that looks like. So we're trying to get people back in the office however we can. And what's happening with the workforce is they're more anxious than ever. First, they were controlled in the office. Now they don't have a choice. They have to work from home. Still no choice.
Right.
And what they want is when we kind of move past all this craziness, like I said before, the choice to make that decision every day without asking permission. And right now what we're hearing is people saying, well, Jody, how do we ask our boss to continue to do this? Mm-hmm. Well, do what? Well, work from home. But what we should be talking about is how do we talk to our manager about what we're delivering? You know, get that into the conversation more. And move away from asking permission for work location. We're a long way from that.
It seems so
simple.
Simple, silly in a way that we should need to ask, you know, permission to do our work. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's just the work. That's what we always say. It's not telework, it's not work from home, it's not remote work, it's just work. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. And so anything that's outside of 8 to 5 Monday through Friday in an office is a program.
Yep.
It's a flexible program. And that's the problem.
We've been crazy. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we've been, you know, trying to prepare CPAs, accounting and finance professionals for the increasing popularity of remote work for years now. And now, like you said, almost overnight, they've been forced to accept it and go with it. And I'm kind of curious what your suggestions would be for how they can start embracing Row as part of this entire movement, especially in a firm environment, right, where hourly billing is still widely practiced. How does Roe kind of coexist in that environment, do you think?
What leaders can do today, I mean, as they're starting to think about what do we do right now and what do we do after all of this? Mm-hmm. And what I'd like leaders to start thinking about is, what are you doing to ensure that all of your employees are clear about the measurable results they need to achieve for our organization? Because I will tell you this, being in the office does not ensure that.
Yeah.
So when I go and do, when I used to do on-site training, it's now all virtual. Mm-hmm. But all of the trainings I've done, when I get in a room and there's 35 people and I ask them, does everybody in the room, are you all crystal clear about the measurable results you need to deliver for this organization? Raise your hand if you know. And I get one hand out of 35.
Wow.
That's the problem. Mm-hmm. And so I would like leaders to just take a step back and say, why don't people know that? And what are you going to do to ensure that that happens? And so that's going to take a shift in how managers manage. Because when you realize how they're managing today is having people shake their heads, I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. You've got a problem there, and it's not about flexibility.
Right. It's about clarity of roles and responsibilities, basically.
Right. And it's really, Dan Pink would agree with this. It's not having a top down where you tell me what to do every day, but I'm part of it. Like, I'm part of talking about the things that I'm doing. And are they really moving the dial? Because if they're not, we're wasting time. We're wasting our own time and we're wasting the company's time. So there has to be more of a collaboration that's different with managers and people that do work. And the conversation can't be about when I'm available or where I'm working from or any of that stuff or how long I'm working or how hard I'm trying. The conversation has to be about clarity, like you said, around what I need to deliver. And then I work on that. And if I need help, I go to you for assistance.
What kind of advantages do organizations that embrace this type of environment have over, those of us who don't? What kind of benefits are there here?
Well, first of all, it's a complete differentiator in terms of talent. So this kind of environment is extremely attractive to everyone, because people really want that freedom and they want clarity so that they can manage their whole life mm-hmm. in a better way. So people like that. But let's talk about business. So we've been doing this for about 15 years and implementing it globally. And what organizations are experiencing is a lift in the things that they've wanted to lift but have been unable to. So for example, when we do pilots of this in organizations, the pilot teams outpace the rest of the organization in almost every measure. So engagement and productivity and loyalty measures and whatever it is we're measuring, they outpace everybody else. Mm. So when you see that, then it's kind of, why would you not move forward, right? Now the organization is operating more effectively and more efficiently. One of our companies that we've worked with since 2009, they're actually based in Minneapolis. I talked to their CEO and his big thing in his mind was, how do I grow my top line? Like, how do I do that? Like, I have not been able to do that in 10 years. Business is great, but I want to grow my top line. And I've been bringing in all these strategies. He said, I want you to come in and help me with the culture. Mm-hmm. So we came in and implemented results-only work environment, have been working with them, for years. But in the first 5 years, their top line grew 100%.
Oh my gosh.
That is the power of the results-only work environment. It's not something that just any organization can take on. It has to have a particular leadership team who has courage. They're status quo breakers. They want to differentiate in a real way for talent. And, organizations that say, you know, we have our high performers and we've got our low performers and we've got our people in the middle. And we want more high performers, they say. Here's the thing. In a results-only work environment, everybody performs.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you don't have to differentiate that way. You don't have to have all the labels and all the different programs. What you have to have is you have to have a focus on what matters to the business, autonomy, mastery, and purpose infused into the DNA. And then you're not front-wheel drive anymore. You're all-wheel drive.
You said the secret word there. Talent is, I mean, that's top of mind for everybody these days, especially in our profession. Attracting and retaining really talented people is a huge issue for folks in our profession, and one that everyone is trying to get a leg up on. And this seems to be a really key way that we can achieve that.
People try to attract talent and they say, well, we're really flexible here and we let our people, you know, go to the dentist, you know, whatever. And I'm working with an organization now in Canada. They have 2,000 people coast to coast and they're all in the results-only work environment mindset right now. And it's interesting to see how a big organization like that starts to overcome inertia and how people stick to this. So I was talking to them the other day and they have these different measures they do when they bring talent in. And they survey people around, what was the number one reason? Like, why did you choose our organization? Mm-hmm. And the number one reason that's been coming up every single time is because you're a results-only work environment. Mm-hmm. So people like their work. You know, whether you're a CPA or you're, you know, whatever you are, like you like your profession, you like your work, but it's the way that we're forced to do work that's outdated and outmoded and out to lunch mm-hmm. that makes us stressed out. We like our work. We don't like the way we're forced to do it.
I'm kind of curious, and we mentioned a few minutes ago, hourly billing. And I'm sure you're aware of kind of a great debate, especially in our profession, between hourly billing and value pricing. And I'm just curious, are there any parallels in the mindsets of those who, you know, practice ROW and this idea of I'm going to price for value rather than my time?
So absolutely, that whole idea of charging by the hour is an interesting thing. We actually worked with an accounting firm a few years ago, and they were pricing by the hour, just like the industry does. And when they adopted the results-only work environment mindset, there was a huge conflict for them because they couldn't understand, after they let go of time themselves, how it made sense for them to charge via time slots, like hourly. So mm-hmm. they started to talk to their clients about the value they were providing and what that was worth. And over a 3-year period of time, they switched completely over to value-based billing. You know, there's a funny thing about charging by the hour. I want to charge you a lot of hours, right?
Right.
Because I make more money, but then the client wants you to do as few as hours as you can. And you think that balances things out, but what it does is it gets everybody's focus just on the time.
Right.
And not on what we're delivering. And so the results-only environment mindset helps facilitate that change mm-hmm. to a value-based pricing model.
That's interesting. That there are so many correlations there, and one that, you know, a lot of them hadn't really stopped to think about it before, but they really do go hand in hand. For employees who are kind of new to this concept of results-only work, what's your best advice for how to succeed here?
So for employees that are new to the results-only work environment and they're feeling some of the burdens of what's going on today, I'm going to give them one simple thing that they can start doing to strengthen their team and feel more in control of their work. And that is, when you're communicating with people, no ambiguity. Be crystal clear about what you need and when you need it. So I'm going to give you an example. So Bill, I need you to run me that report by Tuesday at 3. Okay, so here's what's happening in organizations right now. Bill, can you get me that report ASAP?
Right.
And then everybody's saying ASAP, and then everybody's saying sometime next week and whatever. We think that's polite. We don't want to, you know, burden people with our needs.
Right.
But what's happening then is if I have 10 ASAPs on my plate, I don't know where to start. Like I can't prioritize, and then I'm stressed out, and then I don't know. And then I say, well, Bill, he's, you know, a chief communications officer, so I better do his first because he's, you know, way up the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't plan anything because I don't know, you know, we can't plan in a sea of ASAPs.
Yep.
So if people start doing that with each other, it's interesting how that just that one thing gives like sort of calms everybody down. Everybody be crystal clear. If you send me an email and you say, Jody, can you get me that ASAP? I'm going to email you back and say, how about Tuesday at 3? Does that work for you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then I can always plan and I can always deliver.
And you said it, people think they're being polite by saying, oh, just, you know, as soon as you can, or, you know, sometime this week, or, but I think people kind of crave that clarity, right?
And
work well under, okay, I know exactly when she needs it and I can plan around that. And, you know, I think at least I do, I work much better when expectations are that clear. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And everybody does. And it really sets up something else interesting in that, you know, everything is negotiable. So I actually exercise the muscle of negotiation when I'm being clear. So mm-hmm. if I say 3 o'clock on Tuesday and that doesn't work for you, we start negotiating.
Right.
Because we want to get really clear. Now the negotiation has to be a win-win for the customer. So when we're talking about that, we start talking about the actual work for the customer and what that looks like for the customer. And then we decide how we're going to do that together. And being really clear about that delivery again, what and when, perfectly clear, and then the customer gets a better outcome too.
That's fantastic. How about for managers, leaders? How do we successfully lead teams in this type of environment?
Well, for leaders, like I said before, it's taking a step back and looking at, are the things you're doing today actually creating what you want them to create for you?
Mm-hmm.
And this type of environment isn't easy, right? Culture change is not easy, but it's possible. And, you know, obviously we're here to help. But what leaders can start thinking about, like I said before, is start talking about, are people clear about the work? Start there. And I think that we default to not having to get crystal clear with people because, again, that we're focused on, are they giving us 40 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Are they available? Some of those old ideas. And so even starting there with, are we clear, is a good place to start. Now, I know myself, because I've seen this over and over, you can get clear with people in a goal setting, you know, scenario. But if managers aren't holding people accountable to the work, then goal setting doesn't work. It just doesn't. Because
mm-hmm.
I can continue to make excuses about why I didn't get it done, or why I didn't understand it, or why Bill didn't get me what I needed. And so that's why I can't do my work. There's a ton of a million excuses. But start with, can I get clear with people about what they're supposed to deliver? And how can I, as a management team, hold people accountable to the work, not the effort, to the actual delivery of the work? That's hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's where you can start.
That's right. Is there any type of organization or environment where
where this wouldn't work? Have you ever come across somebody that you've talked to them and asked them questions about the culture and thought, you know what, maybe this isn't for you? What is there any any type of environment where you would say that Roe might not be the best fit?
I love that question. So in a perfect world where the unicorns are flying free, results only work environment works for everybody and every company in a perfect world. So we've, you know, implemented on a manufacturing line and with construction workers and a call center and all the roles of a corporate workplace. But what I listen for is language that I hear from a leadership team where I can tell they're not going to be able to let go. It's very command and control. Mm-hmm. It's, I really like what you're talking about, but we really have to, you know, tell some people where they need to work or they're not going to make the right decision. Yep. That kind of language tells me that's a leadership team that's not ready.
Yep.
And so where I know deep in my soul, based on what I've seen over the past 15 years, this takes organizations hands down to the next level, no question. But is the leadership team, does it have the right constitution to step in?
It really
is. And do the hard work.
Yeah, yeah. It is kind of a cultural change, isn't it?
It is. And you know what's funny, Bill, is I try to tiptoe around that a little bit because people, I think they fear real culture change. Mm-hmm. They like to have incremental change or things that make people feel good a while, team building and pizza parties and whatever that looks like.
Right.
But it's been interesting to watch when I pull back from the word culture and we go in and we implement results only work environment. Every single time what happens is I'll be in the middle of the implementation and somebody will look at me and go, "This is culture change." And I'll go, "Yes, it is, but we're already in, so we're in, right?"
Right, right, right.
But it's kind of funny to think about how frightening that can be for people. Like, I might lose control of my whole business. What about our values? Wonder if people don't do what they're supposed to do. Well, they're not doing it now.
Right.
So really, what do you have to lose? But it really does take, it's a journey. It's not a flip of a switch, you know, teach and train program.
Yep.
It's much more complex than that. And so guiding people through that and making sure the culture overcomes inertia and keeps moving forward, I mean, that's what we do. And it's the upside is pretty exciting.
I'm kind of curious, Jody, given all the I mean pretty much everybody has mm-hmm. been through over the past few months. What does the future of work look like to you?
So the future of work to me, and from a cultural perspective, is everybody's autonomous and accountable. That's the platform. No flexibility. Mm-hmm. Autonomous and accountable. The office is a tool that I choose to use if I want to. Mm-hmm. So it has things there that, let's say I'm somebody that, you know, has to do something physical, like build end caps that are going to, what it's going to look like in a retail store. And I have to get together with people to do that. I do that. But I'm not on a schedule. I have deliverable timetables, but I work with my team to get that stuff done, yep. How it needs to get done. And in this new world, in the future, managers are results coaches. They're not controlling people's time and place. And that old currency of work, time plus presence equals results, is gone. It's about results, period. And we inspire people to be part of what we're trying to do as an organization by giving them what they really want to help us succeed. And that's autonomy. And clarity.
Jody, thank you so much for your time, for your insights. This has been a great conversation. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. Great, great stuff. Really great insights there from Jody Thompson, co-creator of the Results Only Work
environment system. You can find out a lot more at goro.com. That's GOROWE.com. Jody has also co-authored two great books that kind of take this discussion to the next level. They are Why Work Sucks and How to Fix It, and Why Managing Sucks and How to Fix It. You'll find them at goro.com. And don't forget, this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge, along with a strategic skill set. Here we're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. Start mastering these future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning-framework. And that's it, gang. Have a great week.